Welcome back to the High Functioning Disaster, where we tell the truth about life's chaos and learn how to keep showing up through it. I'm your host, Sasha Holder. In our last segment, Zulma called grief love that has nowhere to go and shared how to honor that love instead of running from it. In this episode, we talk about the power of humor in hard moments, how therapy is a gym for your mental health, and why healing doesn't mean you stop hurting. It just means you stop doing it alone. As always, my conversations with Zulma contain strong language and open talk about grief and loss, so please take care of yourself while listening. Let's get into it.
Yes, you're not suffering the pain anymore, but someone else is, right? So yeah. When I'm, when I deal with clients with suicidal ideation, I ask them, to make a list of their blessings. And how would they, because a lot of times we think we are a burden, so like it's easier for others, and it's never like that. So when we are dealing with grief, I also encourage people to, like, if you die, would you want your loved one to be fucking sad all the time and not leaving the bed? Or do you want them to honor you by living their best life and being happy and laughing again? And right, like, so we want that for most of us anyway. One of us fucking psychopaths, we want that for our loved ones. So if we want that for our loved ones, welcome to Therapy with Zulma. Okay, like this is like what a session will be, right? Like, because I'm like, I make those remarks. So anyhow, if we want that for our loved ones, why would we think that they wouldn't want that for us? So when we are feeling guilty about laughing again, no. That's what your mom will want. So why are you feeling guilty? So eventually we are going to be able to laugh again and to have the good memories and to be like, oh, remember when dad was cheating on that game and we are all laughing instead of crying. That time will come, but in order to experience that, we have to keep going one fucking day at a time. If one day is too long, 1 hour at a time. If 1 hour is too long, 15 minutes at a time. Anything that you are going through, if I ask you, can you push through whatever the shit it is? Can you push through for the next 15 minutes? Well, yeah, you can. Okay? Just push through for 15 minutes and then rinse and repeat. 4 of those make 1 hour. 24 of those make 1 day. 7 of those make 1 week, and so on and so forth. If I tell you, you had to deal with this shit for the rest of your life, you're going to be so depressed. But if I ask, can you push through for the next 15 minutes? Oh, yeah. Okay. Fucking do that. You don't need to figure it out about how the fuck you're going to make it until tomorrow. Just push through the next 15 minutes. So when we are going through this pain, how I'm going to do it? Like, you only have to push through this pain for 15 minutes. Can you do that?
That's powerful. And I apologize. I was laughing because my dog is twerking against me. That's why I kept doing like this.
I love it.
So she's in Airedale. If she wants her back by her hips scratched, she does. She'll just bump up against you and like kind of rub up and down on you. And like, it was just making me do like this. And I was trying to listen to you and scratch her at the same time. And, you know, like, this is my life.
Yeah, right. But I love it.
But I know, like, my face is not going along with this sincere, serious thing that you're saying. And I'm like, I'm over here laughing because my dog won't stop twerking against me. And and I'm trying to pay attention. And this is just craziness. But no, back to what you were saying. Absolutely true. I couldn't agree more. Sometimes it is breaking it down to like the smallest increment of time that we can wrap our minds around. Can we get through this amount of time? Okay, let's do that.
And most of us, we can fucking push through for 15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like, when I quit smoking, I smoked cigarettes for like about 20 years. When I quit smoking, I wanted to fucking shoot people for like a year. Like, I was so angry. Like, I'm like, if I ever pick up a cigarette again, I'm going to fucking die with a fucking cigarette in my hand. Because, like, I'm putting myself through this shit again. But the way that I did it, I keep tricking my brain that I'm not going to pick up this craving, but the next one I'm going to smoke. And then the next craving, I kept saying the same thing. And then I made it 1 hour, and then I made it 1 day, and then I made it 1 week. 24 years later, here I am, one fucking craving at a time, because after all that time, I still get cravings sometimes. I'm watching a movie, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so triggered. It's like somebody's smoking. I'm like, I love it. Tell the people why I'm laughing, because now I'm the one laughing.
Because, well, it's a dog issue. It's just the other one this time. So we have a Yorkie and an Airedale. And when the Airedale was over twerking, the Yorkie got up and left. But now the Airedale is laying in the way. Did you hear her? So she was laying in the way, and he wanted to get back to his bed. And so he was whining over on the other side of her. And so I just had to, you know, like, tell him to be quiet. But so, like, you know, you can see me like doing something over here, like correcting a dog. And yeah, this is my life. And that's partially why we're the high functioning disaster.
All right. I love it. I absolutely love it. And then another thing I want to say about grief is my mom was 79 when she passed. So it's like to focus on how many years I had her instead of the loss, right? Like we have a tendency, oh, I'm not going to have her anymore. But I had her for like, I think I was 48. Like, there are a lot of people that they don't have the mom for 48 years, right? Yeah. So it's like to focus on the time that we did share with that person rather than focusing on the future, which is like, oh, my God, I'm going to live without my mom and maybe you fucking die tomorrow. Like, why the fuck are you worried again? Why are you worrying about the future, right? So it's like if we start appreciating all the time and all the memories that we created, that will eventually overpower the fact that I'm not going to have her for the next 10 years or whatever. So, you know, my mom died at 79. My dad died at 97. I'm like... And he died of COVID. Like, if COVID wouldn't have hit, he probably will still be kicking and cheating on the fucking card games, you know? Like, so he got COVID, and he died of COVID on November of 2020. So like when, you know, when COVID was like fucking killing everybody left and right. But, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking like, I don't know if I want to fucking live that long. Like, shit, I'm already tired and I'm 60. Like, another fucking 30 years? Like, but who knows? Like, maybe when I'm 80, I want to continue to live. You know, who knows? But what I'm saying is I was 55 when my dad passed. So it's like, it was such an honor to have my dad until I'm such a fucking old lady. So it's like, why are we, you know, my sister took it really hard and she's older than me. I'm like, bitch, like, you're 60 something. Like, her kids, so she was divorced at the time that her ex, her husband passed, but she had two children with that man, and her own fucking children were in their 20s. I'm like, your fucking children didn't have their father for 40 years. Like, what the fuck are you, you know, like, I'm like, oh, you know, because she's my sister, so I don't have to be her therapist. Fuck you, like, you know, like. And another thing I want to say about when somebody dies, that my therapist told me, and it was, I found it, like, it blew my mind, because I was, when my mom passed, so I have four siblings, but I'm the youngest, so I had a brother, then I had another brother who I never met, because he passed away when she was a baby, then my sister, and then me. So there was the three of us. And my therapist said, your mother, this woman passed, but your mom died, and your sister's mom died, and your brother's mom died. And the grandson's grandma died, and then the granddaughter's grandma died. So it's one person, but it's a different relationship, which each person that person who passed had touched. So when my sister had a different relationship that I had with my dad, she was a lot closer to him. So of course it's going to hit her more. But because it was my dad who died and her dad who died and my brother's dad who died. Right? Like, so when, because in that illustrates so beautifully how grief is different. Because one person died, but a lot of different relationships are gone with that person. So we can be, have grown in the same, with the same parents, but we didn't have, with the same two people, but we didn't have the same parents. Because when they had me, they were a lot older than when they had my brother. And they had a lot more experience, life experience that, you know, so it's like to get that perspective too, that, oh, this friend died, but it was a different friend to me that it was to you, that it was to another person. So that's why grief is basically, that's, I love my, that definition, that it's love that has nowhere to go, because like that encompasses everything else that I said about grief. But it's like when we realize that, because it's like, if you don't care about the motherfucker, you're not going to be grieving. So actually, the pain that you're experiencing is a testimony to how much you love that person. If you're devastated, it's because you love that person. If you're like, eh, I got more oxygen for myself, you didn't fucking care. And is this, I'm talking about person, but it's the same about pets. It's the same about jobs. It's the same about houses. Like if, God forbid, your house gets caught on fire, you lose everything. So it's like, that is grief too. You are mourning that. It doesn't have to be death as of a human being. It could be a project. When we divorce, we are grieving because not only we lost the relationship as is, but we lost the future that we planned together with this person. That's going to be no more. Right? So I'm not only grieving the relationship, I'm grieving all the plans that I have with this person. Mm-hmm. If I'm forced to move, if I'm fired from my job, if whatever. So there is like all kinds of grief. And it's like, because we love the house or the job or the coworkers or whatever, the partner, the project, the goals that we had together. So it's like, if we allow ourselves, we give permission to have the feelings, then, and we embrace them, then it's a lot more manageable to deal with them. That if like, I had to be strong, and why the fuck I'm sad? Because I fucking love this. That's why I'm sad. Then it's okay. It's not okay, but it's more manageable, right? So
yes, absolutely. So, you know, I love that you're the swearing therapist. I think that's hilarious, but it's so fun. How has swearing and keeping it real helped you connect more deeply with your clients?
They love that I'm real. Like, again, I'm not for everybody. I'm not everybody's cup of tea, but the clients that we connect, they love that I'm telling it as I see it, not even as it is. So it's my truth, your truth, and the truth, right? Like, so, but I'm telling you how I see it, and they appreciate that because it's like, wow, yeah, like you do keep it real, huh? I mean, yes, because it's like, why wouldn't I? If I care about you, I'm gonna tell it as I see it because then we can cut to the chase and you can get better a lot sooner. Instead of me like, yeah. You know, and because I'm real, we can, like with me, is like we either connect or we don't. There is no, I'm not sure about that. No, you fucking hate me or we connect. Like there is no gray area. Like you cannot fucking stand me. So when we connect, then so the success of therapy is a therapeutic relationship. Because if we don't connect, you're not going to trust me. And if you cannot trust me, you're not going to open up. So by keeping it real, like sometimes I'm like, have you considered blah, 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 right? They're like, damn. I'm like, yeah, bitch, like, that's why you pay the big bucks. And we laugh about it, but then we fucking work on that. Because that's really what you didn't want to see. And I'm fucking, like, putting it in your face, basically. I'm not your friend. Like, if you want to vent, go to your friend. I'm not your friend. We are talking about this so that we can do something about it. So that you can do something about it. So it's like, oh, okay, well, this is what I see. Like, okay. I mean, like, you don't have to fucking do it. But guess what we're going to be fucking talking next week? Because you didn't fucking do it. Like, right? Like, so
yeah,
they feel like, you know, that they can talk about anything with me and they feel safe in my office. And I love that because I want you to feel safe and to not feel judged. Like, you know, I'm cussing with you. I'm not cussing at you. Right? Like, so I'm like, I'm calling you bitch. I'm not calling you bitch. I'm saying bitch instead of saying honey. Like, I call myself bitch. Like, and they're like, the first time, they get like just so flustered because I'm like, I will never call you bitch. I'm like, why not? That's my middle name. Like, you know, but because I'm real, that kind of like gives them permission to be real too.
Yep. You're not being derogatory. It's
no.
It's in good.
Not at all.
And from a good place.
Yes. Yes. And again, you know that from the very first time that we talk on the phone. So like I had a lady, she's a Mormon. I said, are you sure you want to work with me? I say fuck every other word. She's like, no, no. I'm like, okay. Because I have my own relationship with God, you know, like, so, and we work beautifully together. But because she knew from the get-go that this is how I talk, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it because of your choice of religion. Like, I will send you to another therapist who doesn't cast. You know, she wanted, and we work wonderful together. I wasn't restricting myself from saying fuck because it was hard. Like, no, you are choosing to be here. So, no, you don't have to. And then there are people also who think that they can, you know, they can do it, but then I'm too real. So they don't come back, which is fine too. Like, I'm not fucking playing, like, you know, so I was like, yeah. Okay. I don't judge you. Like, you were not ready. You said you were ready, but you're not. I'll give you referrals. Like, it takes such courage to make that phone call to a therapist. Like, I want to take advantage of that momentum, even if it's not with me. That's why I'm like, let me give you referrals. So you call these other people and see if, you know, for anybody listening or watching this podcast, when you are calling a therapist, you are interviewing the therapist as much as the therapist is interviewing you. So it's like, give it a couple of sessions, but if you don't feel, and listen to your gut, if your gut is telling you there is something off, go find another therapist, because you are not going to silence that voice and you are not going to open up. So you're wasting your money and you're wasting your time. Why? Money comes and goes, but time is a commodity that is so valuable because we are never going to get it back. So why would you want to do that when it's your well-being that we are talking about? With doctors, it's different because you're with the doctor for fucking 5 minutes if you're lucky. So it's like, but with me, you're there for like 50 minutes and fucking digging in your own deep shit. Like, you have to feel comfortable. You know, with certain doctors, yeah, well, he's a fucking asshole, but he's good. But it's like, you know, if you see them for 5 minutes, you're lucky. With therapy, it's like you're sitting there, you're fucking talking. Like, so it's like, yeah, you better feel comfortable with your therapist. It's going to be weird at the beginning, but you're going to know in your gut if this is a good fit. And if it's not, run. Don't even fucking walk. Run. Like, you know, if you have it in you to share with the therapist that you're feeling is not a good fit, and then if that therapist is a good professional, he or she is going to give you referrals. But if you don't feel like, I don't like to ghost people, so that's what I will say. Like, you know, I don't feel like we're a good fit. I'm going to go in a different direction. And what should, so you don't have to care about my feelings when you're saying that. You need to care about you and your feelings. I mean, don't be a fucking asshole about it, but you can say it like, I don't feel there is a good fit. instead of leaving me hanging, right? Like, cause, like, or not returning the messages or whatever. But I'm like, oh, okay. I'm glad that you are standing up for yourself. Like, I want you to get better. It doesn't have to be with me.
Yeah. That, and that's a very good point. What's one thing you wish that more people understood about therapy and the healing process?
That is hard, but it's worth it.
Yes.
Again, you're feeling the pain with the purpose of that is going to help you in the long run. So it's kind of like going to the gym. And if you haven't exercised for a while and then you go to the gym and then the next day you cannot fucking walk, right? If you give up, you're never going to be as strong. But if you continue to work through the pain, then you're going to become stronger and the pain is going to subside. So we go to the gym as a prevention for our physical health. Going to therapy is prevention for our mental health. So it's kind of going to the gym, but for our mental health. So it's like, it hurts, but it's with a purpose of for you to be stronger. And it's not going to hurt forever. So if we give up the first time our legs hurt because we went to the gym, we are never going to be strong. Or if you had an accident or surgery and you're going to physical therapy and they give you exercise and you are in so much pain. But if you don't go through that, you're probably never going to walk the same way again. So like you go through the pain to make your leg stronger or your arm stronger. And it's like, this is the same. You're going through the pain so that you can be stronger in really embrace all parts of you, even the ones that you didn't like that much or that they made mistakes or they make the wrong decisions at the time. And then you face that and then you incorporate them and then you are better as a person because you are incorporating all these parts of you. Just like, thank you for making that mistake so we can learn and we do better next time. If you don't make mistakes, you're not growing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when you know better, you do better. Well, you should. That's my opinion.
Right. And if you don't, the lessons are going to be bigger and bigger and bigger, right?
Yeah. Definitely.
First, it's a little, tap on the shoulder. Then it's a little shove. Then it's like I'm fucking like pushing through the wall. Not me, but the universe, right? So you fucking learned the lesson. But if we had paid attention to the tap on the shoulder, we wouldn't be smashed against the wall. But some of us, we need counsel to learn. Okay. If you ask me if I would have changed that, the answer is no. Because I am who I am now because of that experience.
So everything that we go through, it shapes who we become.
Absolutely. So I learn a lot from my diagnosis. Okay. Why would I? It's like, okay. I'm glad that not exactly glad that I had it, but I'm glad that I'm here today with that experience under my belt. Would I prefer that I learn in a more, in a less traumatic way? Probably, but clearly I needed the fucking lesson, and I'm not fucking learning, so okay. Here it is. Like, yeah.
My final question for you is, if someone is on the fence about starting therapy, what is the one truth you want them to hear?
You deserve it. you deserve your well-being. Because a lot of times we feel like it's, we're not worth it. We're at the bottom of the list, right? Like, you're worth it. You're worth the time, effort, and money that is going to help you feel better.
Absolutely. I agree with
you. You will do it for your child. You will do it for your friend. You will do it, right? You can do it for yourself.
Why not you, right? Going back to what you said in the beginning, why not me? Why not you?
Right.
I love that. Is there anything that you would like to share that you haven't already? We have talked about so much. Where can people find you?
Yes. So I would like to say as a final message that if you woke up today, that means that your mission in life is not complete. So keep putting one foot in front of the other and you're going to come on the other side of the challenge you're currently facing. People can find me on my website at dragonflytherapyservices.net. Or follow me on Instagram at The Swearing Therapist and listen to my podcast, Keeping It Real with Zulma, The Swearing Therapist. So my podcast, I do solos for now. And sometimes I talk about my life and sometimes I have more educational episodes. So check it out.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today and for being so open and honest with everything, really. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you for having me. Did we have fun? We had a lot of fun.
We had loads of fun. That's a wrap on my conversation with Zulma Williams, the swearing therapist. I'm so thankful for Zulma for always keeping it raw and real and for reminding us that therapy isn't weakness. It's work worth doing. And for anyone who needed to hear it today, you deserve your well-being. If you want to connect with Zulma, you can find her at dragonflytherapy.net, on Instagram at The Swearing Therapist, and on her own podcast, Keeping It Real with Zulma Williams, The Swearing Therapist. Next week, we're shifting gears, but staying honest. I'll be joined by Hillary Momberger Powers, the original voice of Sally Brown from Peanuts, who went from child star to recovery mentor and author of the upcoming memoir Peanuts to Percocet, Notes on a Hollywood Childhood. We'll talk about fame, family, addiction, recovery, and reclaiming your story, and what it means to grow up in the spotlight while trying to find yourself again in adulthood. It's heartfelt, wise, and full of lived experience you won't want to miss. Make sure you're subscribed to The High Functioning Disaster so you never miss an episode. Until then, keep breathing, keep laughing, and remember, life's messy, but we don't have to clean it up alone. See you next time. Oh, and one last thing. The content shared on The High Functioning Disaster is for informational and conversational purposes only and is not intended as professional, medical, or mental health advice. Everyone's situation is unique, and what we talk about here may not apply to your specific circumstances. Please do what's right for you and always consult with a qualified professional for medical, mental health, financial, or legal guidance. You take care of you, boo. See you next time.